Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome, everybody, to the Pod's Honest Truth with David Brody. Hope you're well. Hope you had a great weekend. Boy, I tell you what, my weekend was scintillating in the age of the coronavirus. On Saturday, I took a walk. So that was exciting. Sunday, you know what? Let me think. Oh, yeah, that's right. I took a walk. Yeah, so pretty much Saturday, big walk day. Sunday, big walk day. Saturday and Sunday, both big eat days. And that's pretty much what I did over the weekend in the age of the coronavirus. I walked and I ate. And guess what? I think we're going to be doing that for the next 30 days or so because Donald Trump, the president of the United States, if you haven't heard, liberals, has decided to shut it all down pretty much for the next 30 days until April 30th. We're going to do this. I mean, this is what we're going to do. Federal guidelines suggesting you just kind of, you know, take it easy, stay at home, put on Netflix, and, you know, don't go anywhere pretty much. And so that's the deal. And we'll talk about that more as the days and the weeks and, oh, goodness gracious, the months potentially go on. Hey, look, today on the podcast, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm going to say these two words. Okay. And I want to warn you, disclaimer right now, I want to warn you, hear the words churches and the word stupid. And yes, I'm going to say them in the same sentence. That's right. There are some churches that are being stupid. I'll explain in a moment. Also on the podcast today, Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, had a chance to interview him. You know, he's getting a lot of publicity and a lot of good publicity because before there were any known cases of the virus, the Ohio governor was shutting down a big sports festival in Ohio. And then there were just 3 cases at one point, and he shut down the entire K-12 school system. So Mike DeWine getting positive reviews for being out front of this, in front of the curve, if you will. And so why exactly did he do that? We'll talk about it with him. I mean, is he prophetic? Is he dabbling in prophecy? Okay, I had to say that. I'm Christian, you know, so we throw in the prophecy word. No, no, no. He's not a prophet. He's not into prophecy, but he is into science, and he's also into a very good team around him, and we'll explain exactly his thinking. Also, by the way, did you know he's a father of 8? That's right, 8 is enough. Go look it up, Gen Zers and Millennials. That's Dick Van Patten, 1977. 8 is enough. Put it into Google and learn a few things. Once again, if you don't learn about 8 is enough, it's fine. It's not going to kill you, but you might want to take a look. Anyhow, father of 8, grandfather of 24, a devout Catholic. So we discuss his faith and how it informed him in terms of this crisis and, in essence, his whole life, because he talks about how every life is precious. So Mike DeWine on the podcast today. But before we get to that, we have to, as Billy Joel would say, we have to go to extremes. And I want to talk about a couple of extremes here in this age of the coronavirus, and has to do with houses of worship. First, let's talk about churches. Okay, now, for the majority of churches, call it over 80% of churches, that's the some of the figures that are out there. Most folks are shutting it down. The churches are shutting down. People are not going to church. They're going online. They're having a couple people over for Bible study under 10. Great. Knock yourself out. But there are a few churches that are still open for business. This past weekend in Tampa, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown of the River Church, 2,500 people there. He says, you know what? Coronavirus, Shimonavirus. I don't care what the virus is. We're going to meet. The virus isn't going to shut us down, and we're not going to shut down our walls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rah, rah, rah. Religious freedom, all of that. You know, hey, give me a break. This is where I'm going to say the words. Here it comes. Stupid churches. As in this one, it's a stupid church. What are they doing? I'm sorry. I had to say it. I know. I said stupid church in the same sentence. You know what? Check the Bible. I don't know if I should even be saying that, but I did. Okay. I said it. why, folks. Look, you know, you have to be smart. God gave you a brain. Okay, so, you know, can we just be smart for another 30 days, maybe another a month or two, whatever it happens to be. But let's not do the selfish thing and potentially infect others. Why? Because this just in, you may have the virus and you don't even know it. So you're going to church and potentially infecting many others. Okay, look, this pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, and I'm going to play some sound from his church service where he talks about this past Sunday. But he said the only time the church is going to close is when the rapture is taking place. Hilarious. Yeah, okay, well, this just in, most churches are going to close when that happens. Okay, so let's just wait for that. And then I love this line from him. He talked about he has the most sterile building in all of America. This is the quote. I want to read this to you. I kid you not. This is a quote. I'm not making this up. Quote, "We brought in 13 machines that basically kill every virus in the place. And if somebody walks through the door, it's like it kills everything on them. If they sneeze, it shoots it down at like 100 miles per hour. What is he, Trump? Anyhow, it neutralizes it in split seconds. We have the most sterile building in all of America." Oy gevalt. To invoke my Jewish heritage, actually more than oy gevalt, oy they mirrors. Okay, this is just absolutely ridiculous. Here is the pastor this past Sunday. I want you to take a listen.
"And I know that they're trying to beat me up, you know, over having the church operational, but we are not a non-essential service, you know. And just so you know, we are totally covered by the law." Somebody said, "Well, what law are you covered by?" "The First Amendment, the Constitution. Not only the right of free speech, but the right to a peaceful assembly and to practice what we believe." You know, suddenly we are demonized because we believe that God heals, that the Lord sets people free, and they make us out to be some kook. Well, I don't, other religions, they practice their religion. I mean, they're free to do whatever they want to. Are you with me? So we free here in America to worship God free. And we believe in laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we believe in casting out devils. And we believe that Jesus heals. Let me ask you a question. How many have ever been healed before by the Lord in some way? Okay. So there's been a lot of, you know, media after me wanted to, I have nothing to discuss with them because they take everything you say and twist it anyway. So we put all the legalities on our website, and as it is, they already twist the stuff. So go ahead, knock yourself out. My encouragement to you is don't talk to these people, because they're not looking for the truth. They're just trying to find an angle to shut the church down. And this is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it needs to be proclaimed in America at this time. You know, somebody said, "Yeah, but you could just go online. You could go online and preach the gospel." Well, yeah, with Google's algorithms and Facebook, they limit it only to Christians. So you're not preaching to sinners. You're just preaching to the choir. So that's a misnomer. Somebody said, "Well, we're going to go online. We're going to reach people with the gospel." Short of a stray person coming on your side, you're not going to be reaching anybody. So you're smoking crack. So that's just like telling yourself that you're actually reaching out when you're not reaching out. You know, we have to reach our city. And last time I checked, you know, I think there's still bottle stores are open in Tampa. Last time I checked, huh? Bottle stores. Medicinal weed places are open. Last time I checked, huh? I believe there's still abortion clinics open in some areas. That's what I heard. There's stores that are open. Who's ever been to a store this week? Did you see how many people were in there? So then people say, "Well, they can come, they're going to come to your church and die." Well, I can't control what people do 6.5 days of the week. How do you know where they got the virus? The large shopping cart you held. Hello, come on, don't look at me like that. Come on. So, you know, so people have gone totally crazy. And I'm telling you right now, this thing, we got to pray that God pull us out of this thing quickly. And as the president said, he wants to get everybody back worshiping God come Easter Sunday. That needs to happen. This thing cannot go on ad infinitum. It is impossible for our nation to be sustained. Impossible. Impossible.
Look, I don't know what even to say at this point after hearing that the pastor talk like that. It's just insane, honestly. Let me fact check myself. No, it is insane. I just fact checked myself. Right. Look, this is ridiculous that he's even saying any of this. Now, we should point out, excuse me, that in Florida, there is no statewide stay-at-home order. However, in Hillsborough County, where Tampa is located, there is in essence, a safer at-home order, and that non-essential businesses are ordered to stay closed. Of course, the pastor believes, and rightly so, that they are an essential business. Look, I agree that churches are essential. Don't get me wrong, but you also have to be safe and smart in the day and age of the coronavirus. So anyhow, enough about that. I will say there were other churches, some other mega churches, like in Lebanon, Ohio, and Louisiana, a few other places, actually holding services. So look, this is, it's just got to stop at this point for a while. You can do it online, folks. Last time I checked, Jesus can reach you in a church building. He can also reach you on the internet as well. Also, now I want to talk about another extreme. This is Bill de Blasio in New York. He's talking on Friday night. He talked about closing places of worship permanently over the weekend if they didn't obey, in essence, the city's instructions to not congregate. And so the mayor warned the Jewish community that synagogues that continue to defy the coronavirus regulations and hold services are going to be permanently shut down. That's right. I said the words permanently shut down. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. I want you to hear from him. He talks about churches and synagogues that basically the cops are coming in to break up the worship service. And if they don't listen to that, we're shutting down the building permanently. I kid you not. I kid you not. This is America today. This is the full other extreme. Okay. We talked about the churches and the stupidity and the guy in Tampa. Here's the other extreme. Actually closing church buildings. If they're going to meet, give me a break. Here's Bill de Blasio.
Another area, and it pains me to say this, and it's probably a pretty limited phenomenon, but it has to be addressed. I've spoken to religious leaders of all backgrounds, and I want to thank them. So many of our religious leaders have really taken the lead and said to their congregations, said to members of their faith communities that we have to act differently now. A vast majority of houses of worship have stopped their traditional worship service. If they could, they went online, they went on the radio, whatever they could do. But they've stopped gathering people, understanding the nature of the crisis. We've had extraordinary support from the leaders of major Christian denominations. We've had extraordinary, across-the-board, rabbinical support from all the different elements of the Jewish community. And the same is true of other faiths as well. A small number of religious communities, specific churches, specific synagogues are unfortunately not paying attention to this guidance, even though it's been so widespread. So I want to say to all those who are preparing the potential of religious services this weekend, if you go to your synagogue, if you go to your church and attempt to hold services after having been told so often not to, our enforcement agents will have no choice but to shut down those services. I don't say that with any joy. It's the last thing I would like to do because I understand how important people's faiths are to them, and we need our faiths in this time of crisis, but we do not need gatherings that will endanger people. No faith tradition endorses anything that endangers the members of that faith. So the NYPD, fire department, buildings department, everyone has been instructed that if they see worship services going on. They will go to the officials of that congregation. They'll inform them they need to stop the services and disperse. If that does not happen, they will take additional action up to the point of fines and potentially closing the building permanently. Again, that will begin this weekend. Again, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but anyone who's hearing this, take it seriously. You've been warned. You need to stop services, help people practice their faith in different ways, but not in groups, not in gatherings that could endanger people.
Well, there you have it. Bill de Blasio saying, hey, folks, look, knock yourself out, enjoy your faith, but yeah, we're going to shut your building down permanently. By the way, a quick update now that it's a few days later, because he said that on Friday afternoon. I'm taping this podcast on a Monday morning. And indeed, they did not have to do that over the weekend. Apparently, as de Blasio said late Sunday night, that apparently houses of worship got the word and that it never came to fruition. But that's really not the point. I mean, we have something called the First Amendment in this country, and there would be a whole lot of problems with that if that were actually going on. And that is bad PR for Bill de Blasio in New York. But then again, Bill de Blasio pretty much used to bad PR. So, you know, it is what it is. By the way, number of states have religious exemptions carved out for these stay-at-home orders. So in other words, they're banning large gatherings, but they don't ban churches from getting together. And there's about, a handful or so. Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey have religious exemptions. Delaware, Ohio, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Mexico, West Virginia, Kansas. So there are some states that say, look, we're banning mass gatherings, but if you go to church, we're not going to tell the churches what to do. And that's why it's really important that the churches do the right and smart thing. God gave you a brain, so it's time to use it. Back in a moment with Mike DeWine on the Pod's Honest Truth.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And welcome back to the Pod's Honest Truth with David Brody. Time now for my conversation with Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. And by the way, let me just say, if you ever put Mike DeWine into a text message and start to, you know, type Mike DeWine, autocorrect. Thank you very much. It changes it to Mike the Wine. I just wanted you to know in case you ever had to type that into your little text message box. Not that you would ever do that. Anyhow, I had a chance to speak to him a few days ago about the coronavirus pandemic. He was out in front of this early on. He started closing K through 12 schools and a lot of other events before any other governor in America. So we talk about that, his faith, and exactly how he leads during a crisis like this. Here's Mike DeWine. Governor DeWine, thank you so much for joining us here at CBN and 700 Club. Really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, look, you were out in front of this right from the very beginning, in front of the curve, really, in Ohio. Before there were any cases even detected, you were starting to implement a strategy. Why did you think you needed to do that back then before all of this got far worse?
You know, I have an amazing health director, Dr. Amy Acton, and she started working on this and her team at the health department early on when they saw what was going on in China. So she kept me informed about this. And then we had an event that was coming up in Ohio early on. That was the Arnold Classic bodybuilding, but it also has many other things connected with it. And we had to really take a look at that and say, is that going to work? Should we really do that or not? And we came to the conclusion that having 60,000 visitors over a four-day period of time, the same people every day, about 60,000 every day for 4 days in a fairly small area from 80 countries, just really made no sense. And it was a tough decision, but we made the decision to allow the athletes, but not to allow the spectators. And in hindsight, it certainly was a good idea, but that was our first big decision that we made, and then we moved fairly quickly after that. The play-in games at the NCAA are always in Dayton. We're very proud about that. Yeah. Dayton is, and we love it. Then the next weekend was supposed to have been, the first round, and one of the first rounds was going to be in Cleveland. So we had to make a decision about those. And again, it didn't make any sense. What we said is they could play, but they could have no spectators. So it sort of went on from there. But we made those decisions based on science, based on what the best experts could tell us, who really said, look, you got to have this social distancing, and you've got to do it early, because if you wait too long, it's too late. And kind of the classic case is 1918, Philadelphia and St. Louis. St. Louis got it right. Philadelphia was about 2 weeks behind, and that was it. Their fatalities were dramatically up in Philadelphia compared to St. Louis. They had a parade, and they kind of went on about their business, and you pay a huge price for that in human life.
Governor, what do you make of the stimulus bill coming out of Washington? You know this place pretty well. Do you think it'll be enough? What's your sense?
Well, we're still trying to figure out exactly what's in it. We're certainly looking at this. I just got off the phone with some county commissioners around Ohio, and we talked about some of that money going back to the local communities, but also some of that money going to the state. So we're still trying to unravel it, but I'll guarantee you we'll be able to use the money. If you look at what we're facing in Ohio, we're facing in every other state and every other community, and that is, revenues dramatically down because of the economy being dramatically down. At the same time you have that happening, your social costs go up and your expenses go up. So we're in for a very, very tough time. I had a friend of mine tell me the other day who's really a budget expert. He said, I don't think I've in my lifetime, he's in his 60s, he said, I don't think I've ever seen a governor face what you're going to face. And I'm not alone. Governors across this country are facing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to Ohio in a moment, but I want to ask you one national question about the president. How do you think he's handling this crisis?
Look, I think the president's doing a good job. We're on the phone with him today. He's communicated very well. The vice president, who the president put really in charge of this, has just been phenomenal. We've asked them for different things. The first thing we asked them for is a waiver in regard to our schools, school lunches. We wanted to be able to feed kids even though they weren't physically in the school building. And they gave us the waiver to do that. So, those are the type things that we really need out of Washington. Look, we're all dealing with the same problem. We do not have enough tests. We don't have the testing capacity, but that's a nationwide problem, and it's a real challenge. And of course, now what we're looking for is making sure as the surge comes, this wave comes at us, we know it's coming, to make sure that we do everything we can to build out our hospitals. We think we may have to double the size of our beds, number of our beds, at the same time making sure our medical personnel have the personal protective gear that they really, really need to have. And so we've stopped all elective surgeries in Ohio, for example. We've asked the dentists to do the same things. We even asked the veterinarians to do the same thing so we can save some of this gear for when we know we're going to really, really need it.
I was going to ask you that, how you plan to go and deal with this surge that is coming from a healthcare resource standpoint. You laid out a few things. Are there more situations as it relates to potentially running out of hospital beds and all of that? You did mention some of that.
Well, Ohio's a complex state. It's not like we have one big city. We've got a number of very significant cities. We're almost a state of city states. And so we got a lot of different regions. So one of the challenges for us as we work with our local hospitals is kind of do it regionally and making sure that somebody, no matter where they are in Ohio, whether in the city or the most rural area, if they get sick, that the care is there for them. And then if they have to be transferred to a major hospital, we need to make sure that that's possible as well. So we're really focusing a lot on that. So you're really doing two things at once. You're trying to keep the social distancing to prolong this, push it out further away so that we have time to actually do the build out and do all the work that we needs to be done to get ready for the surge that's coming.
Governor, I know you have that stay at home order that in place, at least I think through April 6th, if I'm not mistaken. I am wondering about what you do specifically for those, and you've obviously had to deal with this in Ohio, those businesses and residents who are not obeying by that stay-at-home order that you have sent. What's the repercussion, and how do you combat people that are not playing along?
Well, we have 113 health departments in the state, and they're the ones who are at the front line. You know, we've had health departments who have gone out and closed places. And so we've asked them, really, the businesses to do two things. One, only the essential businesses. If you are allowed to stay open, we also, though, have a very specific list of health things that you need to do. You need to keep the distance. If you can't keep the distance, you can't be open. I mean, we've got to do this to slow this thing down. So the health departments have a checklist. If they go out, they can go through that very quickly. We simply want businesses to comply. We're not, you know, necessarily, if it's an essential business, we want them to be able to continue, but we also need them to comply with the health orders.
There are certain states that have exempted religious gatherings from this stay-at-home order, Ohio being one of them. Why did you feel the need to exempt religious gatherings exactly? And what's your message to people of faith all across Ohio and really the country, Governor?
Well, I didn't think it was proper really for government to infringe upon people's First Amendment rights. But we've also been quite candid with people, and I've been candid with ministers and others. I've had conference calls with them and say, look, you're not doing your folks any favors by bringing them together. And what I found is that churches have been very adaptable. My Lieutenant Governor, John Houston, his wife, Tina, they tell me that the other day that their church, they were live streaming it. My wife on Sunday took a walk around our prairie that we have on our farm, and she was watching the service from one of the Catholic churches here in Ohio, a live service. So there are things that churches are doing to adapt. I'm very proud of what they're doing, but it's just really important for us to keep that separation, and that separation is in church as well.
Governor, you're a father of eight, a grandfather of 24. You're a devout Catholic. I'm wondering about your faith and how it informs what you're doing through this crisis and how you've relied on your faith during this crisis. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, I think this is, if there's ever a time when you need to make decisions based on what you think are the best interest of people, it's a crisis like this. And, you know, I think the essential function of government is to protect people. And so that's what my faith tells me. That's what my faith tells me, that every life is precious, whether it's the unborn, or after it's born, from conception to natural death. And so this is a matter of life and death. We are dealing with people's lives, and the decisions that I make will determine, to some extent, whether people are going to live or not live. Part of my message, though, has been, we can't do this alone. We're not doing this alone. We're doing that with you. We're doing this with every Ohioan and in the case of the 700 Club, every American. And, you know, what we do to separate ourselves, what we do to keep that distance, will determine, you know, how many of us make it through. And I'm wearing this tie, baseball season starting. I got a Reds tie on today. I have an Indians tie on tomorrow. But to remind us that there's good times ahead. We're going to be playing baseball again. We're going to be doing a lot of things in the future. But we got to get through this. And we got to stay focused. And that's just my message. We got to stay focused.
Is there any sense at all as to how long this could last? I mean, you said we're going to get back to regular order at some point. I know it's hard to predict, but what is your best either guess or what are you hearing from the experts?
Well, what Dr. Acton tells me, based upon all the information she can gather, is that we should peak in Ohio around May 1. So we've got to come down from that. If we peak there on May 1, we got to come down from that. So we've got, you know, we got a tough month ahead of us. Again, we can impact how tough that month is by how good a job we do of separating ourselves.
I have to tell you, as I did some research before our interview, I know one of your favorite books is For Every Idle Silence, written by Henry Hyde. And it deals with abortion and other issues. But one quote that you talk about in that book, and this is your quote, you say, "We are judged not just by what we do, but we are also judged by what we fail to do." And I thought you would maybe have an opportunity here to expand on that. Sounds very poignant, especially for these times.
Well, first of all, Henry Hyde, I served with him in the U.S. House. He was one of my heroes, author of the Hyde Amendment, and someone who who cared passionately about the unborn, and he got, I think he generally got things right. And so I think we are judged by, you know, what we do, but also what we don't do. And, you know, my advice when I'm giving graduation speeches to young people is you'll be plagued by what you don't do more than what you do. And so be bold, stand up, don't shrink back, speak up if you see injustice, and, you know, do what you think is right. Don't be timid about it, because you'll be sorry if you are timid. At least that's been my personal experiences. When I've held back, when I've not done what I should have done, I've been sorry about it.
Last couple questions before we go. Your advice to folks dealing with a crisis like you're dealing with now, whether it be to other governors, not that you want to give advice to other governors, but what has been your advice to yourself as to how you handle a crisis in terms of management skills and how best to be effective in that area?
Well, I've had about a 40-year career in public service. And the mistakes that I've made as I look back when I've gotten things wrong, it's usually been because I didn't ask enough questions, I didn't dig deep enough, I didn't consult enough people, maybe didn't consult the right people. So my attitude throughout this has been, let's get the facts. I keep asking questions. I try to find anybody who knows anything about this and try to learn from them, and then base my decisions on that. The other thing I've learned throughout life is that when I don't trust my gut, when other people are going one way and I think, well, I probably ought to go this way, and then I end up going with them, you know, I'm usually wrong. So I've learned to trust my gut. My instinct throughout this has been, and this is based on what, you know, the experts have told me, but my gut has been, we're not moving fast enough. We just got to move faster. And so that's my message to my team every day. We got to move faster. As John Wayne said in one of his movies, we're burning daylight. We're burning daylight and we're running out of time, and we got to get this right, and we got to move quick.
And my final question to you, Governor, you have been in public life a long time. Is this the hardest problem that you've had to face in all of your public life experience?
Yeah, I think it probably is. You know, when you're in the Senate, as I was, or in the U.S. House, you're one vote, one out of 100 in the Senate, one out of 435 in the House. But as governor, you're it. You got a lot of good team members, but ultimately you make the decision. And each one of these cases, I've made the decision based upon the best advice I could get. But ultimately, it was my decision. So, yeah, buck stops with me.
Governor Mike DeWine, praying blessings for you. Stay safe. Fran, the kids, the grandkids, everybody out there over there in Ohio. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
That is Mike DeWine on the Pod's Honest Truth. Really appreciate the governor for joining me for that interview. He's a very busy man, and so to take some time to discuss that with the whole situation on coronavirus with me, I do truly appreciate. He talked about having to move faster. That's his gut. That's what his gut tells him. I would agree with that. And, you know, by the way, he says faster, and here's what we shouldn't do. Be dumber, okay? As I said at the top of the podcast, there are some churches that are still meeting, and it just does not make sense. And, you know, there was a BuzzFeed, take it for what it's worth, it's BuzzFeed, but it was a poll that they did, and the poll shows that nearly a fifth of religious Americans say they are still attending services despite the coronavirus pandemic. That's about 17% or so say they're still attending worship services in person. Please, I beg you, let's shut it down, folks. Get a computer and watch it online. There's no reason to be in a building. You can hear God's word online. You can hear it in a building. Yes, either way. But right now, let's not do the either way option, shall we? Let's go online and be smart, and we'll take it from there. One day at a time during this coronavirus pandemic. I'm David Brody, the Pod's Honest Truth. Until next time, everybody.